This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All righty then. Welcome back to the morning show. That's a nice variation of No One Likes Us. A little punk action there. Pretty cool. All right. No One Likes Us, but everybody wants to come here to Philadelphia, partly because when you come to Philadelphia, you get to listen to this man regularly. That would be Ross Tucker. Good morning, Ross.
Al, Rhea, good morning. How are you?
We are doing great, Ross. What's not to like? Everybody wants to come to Philadelphia. Everybody in the NFL, everybody in Major League Baseball, they want to come to Philly.
You know what? There's something to that right now, for sure. I think it's so interesting because it was just, last offseason that the perception of Negadelphia or whatever, I think is one of the reasons why Deshaun Watson and Russell Wilson didn't want any part of it.
Thank God.
Thank God, by the way. Thank God they didn't want any part of it. And now it's like everyone, it's like anything else in life, right? When people are really, really passionate, you can either look at that as a positive or a negative. For guys like Brian Dawkins or Chase Utley, who are beloved, it couldn't be more of a positive. For people like Ben Simmons, who are not, it couldn't be more of a negative. So, last year, those guys were concerned with the negative aspects of it. I think especially the baseball guys, but even like A.J. Brown. I mean, you hear the baseball guys talk that have played for other teams, even like a Bryce Harper. And then you hear A.J. Brown. It's not like this where they used to play.
Yeah.
Well, that's the crazy thing, Ross, is that he comes here from Tennessee, has the big game, obviously, after having a couple games that were a little off.
Right.
Catches two touchdown passes, over 100 yards. Eagles fans, from what I've heard, were kind of giving it to the Titans owner's box.
Yeah, turn around, pointing at him.
And then yesterday, the GM gets fired. Coincidence?
I don't believe in coincidences, Rhea. So, no, absolutely not. I would say this to the owner. Did you have to make it like that obvious? I mean, there's got to be more to it. What I always want on these – it's funny. I did the Titans-Bills game, the opener, on Monday Night
Football.
They got
crushed by them, right?
They did. It's the only other game where they got crushed. But I asked the PR guys. I was like, listen, what was the deal with AJ? Like, did the owner not want to pay? Like, what was it, the GM or was it the owner? Because I know it wasn't Vrabel.
No, very.
And the guy just looked at me and was like, yeah, that's not really – I don't know. Because I was dying to know the backstory. Because here's what I think is crazy, right? Not only were the Eagles willing to give him that contract, think about it this way. They were willing to give up a first-round pick and a fourth-round pick or whatever for the right to pay him that contract. The Titans already had him.
Yeah.
They didn't have to give up anything. All they had to do was give him the money. And by the way, he wanted to be there. He's from the South.
Yep.
Nashville's like the capital of the South now. He wanted to be there.
He was hurt when they did that.
So
we have Tom Pelissero from the NFL Network, which was kind of funny. I think he buried the lead in here.
What was communicated to Robinson was that ownership was not happy about the direction of the roster that he had assembled, even though at this point, as you mentioned, the Titans are 7-5 and they've got a more than 3-game lead in the AFC South division. Certainly, as you look through Robinson's drafts, he's had some big hits. He drafted Derrick Henry and A.J. Brown. He drafted Harold Landry. He also had some high-profile misses, including the likes of Isaiah Wilson and most recently Caleb Farley, who has struggled to be on the field. If you go back about a month or so ago, Mike Vrabel spoke in a press conference and was asked about the offense, and he said, if you haven't figured it out yet, this is how we're going to have to play. That was a sign that there was frustration about what they lacked at the wide receiver position, in particular on that offense. Of course, the trade of A.J. Brown back in April to the Eagles did net them a promising young receiver in Treylon Burks, but he too has had some injury issues and has not stayed on the field. Just 2 days after that game, and A.J. Brown having more touchdowns and receptions and receiving yards than all the Titans wide receivers combined, the guy who drafted him and traded him, John Robinson, is out in Tennessee.
Hmm. That guy did bury the lead. That's all that mattered to me, Ross.
Could have started at the end.
Yeah, really.
You know, I always am so intrigued by these situations, because the one thing I can tell you, having played for five teams, the owners in general have more involvement, I think, for certain franchises than people realize. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've had coaches and front office execs tell me after the fact, yeah, you know, we didn't want to cut Bledsoe, but the owner made us, or whatever, right? Like, they'll tell you that. And so I sort of thought, I know there's a salary cap, but there's also a budget. And some of these teams, they don't make a lot of money off the field. Like, they really want to make sure they're making a certain amount of money every season. And I wondered if the owners said to John Robinson, We're not going there. We're not paying him 25 a year. We're not paying him that much guaranteed. Obviously, with them firing him, it would seem to be that that's not the case. But here's be my question. Do we really think that John Robinson, with a move this big, didn't keep the ownership abreast of what he was thinking? Like, he didn't say, hey, listen, here's what I'm thinking. We're going to trade one of our two best players to the Eagles. Here's why. Like, I don't know. I mean, I am fascinated. Hopefully over the next couple of days, more information comes out.
Well, you may, but a lot of owners depend on that they hired the right guy to tell them the right thing. Like, you agree with them. And then when your coach isn't even on board.
The coach wanting more power, maybe, yeah. Ross?
Well, that's very interesting, Rhea. I played with Vrabel in 05 and 06 in New England, and I can't imagine how, knowing him or really anybody, that's got to be hard, right? Like, it's his job. It's his reputation on the line. He goes on TV and says, we won't trade A.J. Brown.
I know. He looked
like
an idiot.
As long as I'm the coach. Yeah. And then they trade him. So the part one of it, Rhea, is that they traded him. Part two of it is the GM kind of made Vrabel look like an ass.
Yeah,
right?
Embarrassed him. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, because, you know, he wants the players to take what he says and know that he's going to be truthful and transparent. He says, we'll never trade the guy. And by the way, he got that from Belichick. Because I remember a practice one time where there was a lot of rumors we were going to trade Daniel Graham, who was a really good tight end. And after practice, Belichick brought the whole team together. He's like, listen, there's a couple of reports out there that we're going to trade Daniel Graham. He looked at Daniel Graham. He's like, we're not trading you. You're not going anywhere. I'm telling all you guys right now, we're not trading. And it was like, okay. You know, like that, like he just totally nipped
transparency.
It in the bud. Yeah, yeah.
Well, so you know, kind of how he gets him fired by stealing A.J. Brown, which is what we believe. Is there a chance another GM could be in trouble based off his recent dealings with Howie Roseman? I'm talking about Mickey Loomis.
Well, that's interesting too, because it's a different, you know, Rhea. It's really interesting because in both of these ownership situations, right?
Mm-hmm.
In New Orleans, the longtime owner, Tom Benson, passed away. Mm-hmm. And the owner now is his, I don't know if it's second or third wife. There was a lot of fighting between his kids
yes, yeah.
and the wife, Rita Benson. And then obviously in Nashville with the Titans, Bud Adams passed away. And he has like five kids. And there was a lot of kind of fighting. It wasn't clear who the owner was going to be there, and it's one of his daughters, Amy Adams Strunk. And I want to be very clear here, Rhea.
Mm-hmm.
I am not stereotyping at all. These women
yes.
might be the single most knowledgeable. They might know more about football than I do. I really don't know. Mm-hmm. But I do think it's fair to wonder in these situations how knowledgeable they are and who are the people that have their ear. You know, that talk to them about these things. There's same things going on in Seattle. I say that to say Mickey Loomis also for a while was running the basketball team down. I forget what they're called. The New Orleans. No, they're not the
Pelicans.
Jazz. Pelicans. Yeah. But he was running them too. So Rita is, she's at least in her 70s, might be in her 80s. I think there's a lot of trust there. I think they'd probably be more likely to fire Dennis Allen, the head coach, and blame it on him rather than fire Mickey Loomis.
How could you blame those deals? I mean, those deals, it's
horrible.
Still, I mean, you can't blame him on anybody. I mean, Dennis Allen wasn't making those trades.
I'm starting to have a concern about this. And my concern is, if Howie Roseman calls,
don't
why
answer
are
the
you
phone.
Answering?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, exactly. he's almost going to have to, Howie's going to, maybe the Quinn trade will be the bad one. Gave up a fourth round pick. Now Quinn gets his knee scoped. He's going on IR. But at some point, Howie might want to have a bad trade.
Yeah, right.
So people keep doing business with him.
No, it really is remarkable to have a record like this.
Well, and what's remarkable about it, you bring up the owners and the people in there is, you know, honestly, and we've criticized them a lot, Jeffrey Lurie has been here a long time, and things are run very professionally. Now, who knows what's going to happen when he eventually turns it over to his son? You know, like you have in these cases with Amy Adams seems like making these decisions, what's going on with the Saints. I know Jerry Jones's daughter's involved, very high up, like a president of that team and considered very well thought of on the business side.
She's on the business side, yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, and the other kid just cleans the glasses, right?
Yeah, Steven.
and honestly, like, Rhea, they might be the most knowledgeable. I don't know. There's so many women in football now. It's awesome.
Yeah.
I just don't know that.
Yeah.
I just don't know.
Well,
it's
ham-handed to fire a GM when your team is, what, 7-5 and atop the division.
Well, the timing of it is just bizarre. When's the last time? It's really strange for a GM to be fired midway through the season like this. I guess you could argue they want to give the next guy enough lead time before the draft and free agency. But all they did right now is just promote, you know, some other guy that was there.
Yeah, well, it seemed, I mean, I just read it clearly as they screwed up this thing and the coach is mad about it and the coach ain't going anywhere.
Yeah, they love the coach. They have to love the coach. I didn't know, Rhea, the angle about the Eagles fans yelling at the owners.
Oh, yeah.
That is the part that I'm really intrigued by, because you know what I've learned about really, really, really rich people? They really don't like being embarrassed.
The story always was with Jeff Lurie that when Banner left was that Lurie, and I think it was Michael Vick, I think it was kind of that era, they all showed up at a Sixers game and they were in a box and they got shown on the, you know, the Jumbotron, and the players all got cheered and Lurie got booed because they didn't like how, you know, Banner. So, yeah, you're 1,000% right.
Yeah, and it was embarrassing. And it was embarrassing on a national level, and a personal level and a national level. And this guy just fed off of it. I mean, I don't know what you think, Russ, but I actually think that this was part of the mental edge that the Eagles had in this. And I think they were so geeked up, they went off. They were too geeked up for this thing.
What did they say about it, by the way? I haven't seen the quotes from the guys. What did the O-line say after the game about all the false talk? It was like contagious.
Yeah, I saw something.
There's
from
no
my
explanation lotto. For it.
No, there I was mean, no explanation
it
for
was
it.
It was a home game. It wasn't like I was blown away by that. I had no idea. It was like everybody took turns.
No, it was to overcome that was something you rarely see. Like the Eagles are at that point where it's almost like the only the one team that can beat them is themselves. And they actually beat them. They could have beaten themselves on Sunday. They really could have beaten themselves early in the game when that happened. They still overcame all of that. That's how dominant they were on Sunday. And I think their explanations were not specific to anything. It was just it was just an overall an anxious team.
He was on with us. Yeah, he took responsibility. He said whenever it's pre-snap penalties, that's coaching. So I don't know. You know.
What? I don't agree with that.
Well, that's
at
why
all.
I want to ask you as an offensive lineman.
No.
Okay.
So to me, I can live with aggression penalties.
Yeah.
You know, maybe a personal foul or a pass interference. The pre-snap, is totally unacceptable. By the way, I had a couple, but totally unacceptable. And I just don't really understand it. These are veteran guys. You know, and you might have one, but to have that many, I didn't know if maybe the Titans were given a false cadence.
Well, here's what they were doing, according to The Athletic, and I saw this in Bleeding Green Nation, that Titans head coach Mike Vrabel noted it was a hodgepodge official crew who had not worked together. Because I thought a couple of them, I was complaining, you know, at the game with my friends that I was watching it with, that I thought a couple of them were discretionary and were kind of a little ticky-tack. But apparently also Tennessee has a very chatty defensive line, and that may have played a role as it attempted to lure the Eagles off their game, which it did.
Yeah. That is possible. Yeah. That's possible when the D lineman. So I forget what they call it, but you know, every once in a while, the defense, they'll start to hear the cadence, and then the defensive guy will go, "Hut!" You know, and like you're,
oh,
like when you're waiting for the next hot.
No,
yeah, I forget. That's illegal. It's called disconcerting signals, which is amazing.
What?
Like disconcerting. How about just like fake?
Yeah.
Fake signals?
Wechter just said to me he thinks the Eagles got called for that earlier in the season. It's what is it called?
Signals?
Disconcerting signals?
Yeah, disconcerting signals. Yes, when the defense tries to fake or mimic the offense's snap count.
You're not allowed?
Why, no, you're not.
No.
Well, because then how do you know the difference, Al, between your guys and their guys?
This is why we have Ross Tucker on.
That's right.
Penalty occurs when the defense is trying to mimic the cadence.
It's, I don't know.
Disconcerting acts or signals penalty.
I go on the ice, I yell, and the other guy sends a pass. I'm like, you're the idiot, not me. I don't see how that, well, whatever. But they've got rules for everything now, and with everything that's gone on. We're going to talk a lot about the Eagles, but Ross, we're going to have to pick your brains on the Cowboys, too, who suddenly have become like...
They're the best team in the NFL.
World beaters. We get back, we'll talk about that and everything else in the NFL. Time at 94 WIP is 7:15.